If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Michael Phillips joins us now, the film critic at the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Michael. Thanks for giving us some of your time. Where are you?
Of course, John. How are you doing? I'm in. We are just coming into Kansas City here. I'm with the U of I Roger Ebert Fellows from Champaign-Urbana, and we're driving down to the True False Documentary Film Festival in Columbia, Missouri. We do that every year with the Fellows.
I love that film fest. It's the one of two film fests I've ever been to, and it is worth the trip. It is so much fun. I'm glad you guys are doing that.
It's great. Oh, thank you. You know, we love it. It's a great time every year. But now I sent them off to Starbucks so we could talk, like adults and professionals.
There's two things I want to two parts of this conversation I want to have. One is a run through some of the Oscar picks and your thoughts about the movies that are out there this year and the actors and actresses. Before we get to that, though, this Gene Hackman story is just so unsettling. And the piece you wrote in the Tribune was just so eloquent and thoughtful and interesting. And we still don't know much more about what has happened there. In general, what would you like to say about Gene Hackman right now?
Yeah, I mean, the circumstances around the death are kind of, just sort of perplexing. And yeah, it takes a while to sort this out about, what's the cause of death here and the circumstances. But, I was surprised. I have to say, I was surprised how much this death hit me. He was 95. Everybody knew it would come soon. At some point, by that point, just actuarially, you're going any time. But that to hear from so many people about what he meant to them and how, and everybody had a different set of 4, 5, 6 movies that they count as their favorites, even if they weren't the famous ones. But people would bring up everything from, the famous ones, right? Your French Connection, absolutely. Bonnie and Clyde, all kinds of things. And then you'd hear people, movies I'd literally forgotten that are actually pretty good small movies. Class Action, the lawyer film, the father-daughter lawyer film with Mastrantonio and Hackman together, really good. And Royal Tenenbaums, I don't know. I really liked Hackman for he played an all-American sort of, formidable authority figure, but something a little troubling behind the eyes, always,
yeah.
Not always. You know what I mean? I mean, I just think his emotional wiring as an actor and his craft and his just general instincts for let's just cut the crap and tell the truth here in this scene, whether my character's a good guy, a bad guy, an in-between, he was great at the in-betweens.
And I really liked...
I just felt like people... That's all. I can talk all day.
Evidently, but I did want to quote you to you. As Hackman told the Tribune in the 1980s, I do have a good ear for a certain class of Americans. This is what you were speaking to. You wrote, I hope, and this is a quote from him, it's not only Midwesterners, but I do seem to know the kind of Shriner mentality. The manager of your local Sears and Roebuck store. I think I know that guy. He wasn't one of these real pretty, beautiful Hollywood actors with an over-the-top style, but we all liked him, and maybe without even thinking about it, we related to him, didn't we?
Related to him, exactly. And, he wasn't born in Danville, Illinois, but he spent most of his formative years there, and it was not an easy childhood. It was a difficult home life. He was kind of a lost soul in many ways, very restless, sort of volatile guy, and all through his teens and 20s, and he didn't really, take as an actor even until many years into his 30s, I think. And by that point, your point about the movie star looks is absolutely right. By that point, by the mid-late 60s, Hollywood had started to kind of get a different idea about who could be in a movie. It didn't have to be Redford types every time.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman, The Graduate, huge hit, and then they were friends when they were at the Pasadena Playhouse Acting School, Hackman and Hoffman. And they were both voted least likely to succeed, which I think is hilarious.
You also said in your piece that he turned down One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the Jack Nicholson part, the Peter Finch role in Network. He could have been Donald Sutherland in Ordinary People. He made great movies, middle movies, not great movies. He was a very busy actor in the 80s and 90s, in part because he had bills to pay. He didn't pay his taxes, and for a while he was in some debt, huh?
Yeah. I didn't realize until reading up on him the last couple of years, sort of preparing, frankly, for this day when he died. Because I do think the world of him as an actor, and he did have a lot of really, you know, sort of disheartening debt. I think he overspent when he had money. I think he owed the government a lot. He took a lot of jobs for money. And he turned down a lot of plums, you know, because in some cases it meant leaving California for a New York shoot like Network. I know that was good. I think he had regrets about not spending much time with his family. He didn't at some point he stopped leaving town every time, you know, for a job. So he turned down Network. And I don't know, it's a tough life. I think for Hackman, it was tough being a star. It came with a hollow feeling.
Yeah.
It came with a hollow feeling, you know. And things don't work out the way you want them to. Maybe at the box office. But then he had a great wave of a new good kind of like respect, I think, when he won that second Oscar for Unforgiven.
Well, let me ask you this. Here's my question. We're going to take a break, and I want you to come back and talk about the Oscars. But I'm going to have a three-film film fest starring Gene Hackman. What are the three movies I'm going to watch? I'm going to do Hoosiers. I'm going to do Royal Tenenbaums. I'm going to do No Way Out. And I'm going to do Mississippi Burning. I know that's four. Give me three for you. I'm going to watch Gene Hackman movies this weekend. What am I going to watch? Go.
All right. Bonnie and Clyde to see kind of the star in the making.
That's one.
Bonnie and Clyde. Give me another one. I would go Tenenbaums on the other, and that was the last really great performance he gave, I think. And in the middle, Crimson Tide, man. I like to see two movie stars just squaring off in close-up. Him and Denzel Washington. A lot of fun.
10 pictures nominated for Best Picture this year. Which one do you like the most?
The most? Anora. And I think it's going to win.
Which did you like the least? Which is the one that doesn't belong in there?
Oh, my God. Okay, well, it's The Substance. I'm sorry. Did you see The Substance, John?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, all right. Now this is the bummer because already this has become a gender divide. I don't want anybody to people can think what they like. It had nothing to do with this. To me, it felt like the most outdated feminism for dummies, gore splattered, you know, Hollywood cautionary tale I'll give you three movies made by female writer directors that should have been in that slot as Best Picture nominee for 2024 instead of The Substance. Do you want to hear them?
Well, now I have to say yes, and I do. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, all we imagine is light from India, fantastic film from Payal Kapadia. Yeah, it's great. My Old Ass, this really interesting comedy drama from Canada with Aubrey Plaza. I mean, and Janet Planet by Annie Baker. That's three really, really good writer directors who could plausibly get the nominations given to The Substance. And, you know, Demi Moore will win Best Actress. I don't really have a huge problem with that because she's very good. I don't think the acting is the problem with that movie. I don't think the acting is usually the problem with any movie primarily. But in this case, that's The Substance I don't like. But good films at the top. I like The Brutalist a lot. I like A Complete Unknown. I like Conclave. I like the Nora. I mean, there's a lot of Dune 2 is good for what it is. I mean, it's not a bad year. No doubt about that.
The three movies that I enjoyed the most this year are A Complete Unknown, Emilia Perez, and Conclave, at least of the nominated films. Those three I enjoyed watching the most. And if you said, what movie would you be most likely to go back and watch a second time, which I think is one way to help you discern what is, in fact, your favorite film, it wouldn't be a Nora for me. It would be A Complete Unknown. I could watch that multiple times. I probably will.
Okay. You're not alone. I think a lot of people were really surprised when they were starting to catch up a little over the holidays and then into January. It's a really solid biopic. The director, James Mangold, knows what he's doing. He made Walk the Line with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon. That film I like it just a tad better. And I think also another one you can take to the bank. I think Timothy Chalamet is going to win Best Actor.
Who's going to win Best Actress?
Demi Moore, as I said.
And why is she going to win Best Actress? You can get yourself in all the trouble you want. Go right ahead.
No, there's no trouble. I mean, you know, I think look, people. Yeah, you know, she hasn't had a good, juicy lead in, you know, what seems like decades, and I think it may actually be decades. It's a big part. It's a huge part. It's certainly executed well. She's won enough of the awards that statistically tend to lead to what happens at the Oscars.
Is this a lifetime achievement award for her?
So really, you said what I should have said in four words. You four words. Yes. You know, I don't like the implication of that. I don't like that implication. Like, okay, now she's near death. You know, therefore we give her an award. She's got many, many decades ahead of her, I think. but that's probably a little. It's sentimental, I guess, that way. And
I think
the best single performance I saw
was either Mikey Madison in Anora or Carla Sofia Gascón in Emilia Perez. It looks like Gascón's not going to win, and maybe she's hurt that whole film project. But I thought Gascón was unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm less enamored of Emilia Perez than you are. I think the cast is not the issue, and I think Zoe Saldana in the supporting role will win Best Supporting Actress. She's very good, I think.
Yeah.
Mikey Madison. I mean, I just you know that's a Star Is Born kind of moment for me, and that film is just unexpectedly moving. It starts out, you know, kind of raunchy, raucous, funny. Like Pretty Woman, but like with an edge. And then by the end, it's kind of devastating. But I love the way the movie takes those turns. So, yeah, I hope people will discover Anora and give it a shot.
I don't. But you're the film critic. I didn't like the movie, but I thought the last 60 seconds of that movie were 60 of the best seconds I've seen all year. So I would be in for that ride just for that. But and I thought she was really good.
Okay. All right. This is my show, John. Let me talk. I challenge you, if you thought that was the best 60 seconds of the year, I challenge you to go back and watch it because a film has to be working in a lot of different ways for a last minute to pay off that memorably.
Mm. That's well put. That's Michael Phillips here on The Michael Phillips Show. And our best... our best to all those fellows that you're traveling with to the True False Film Festival. I envy you for that. And let's talk again, Mike. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, John. Take care.